Ugh, the citronella candle is useless! And don't even get me started on the sticky sprays.
Did you try the dryer sheet hack too?
I've tried everything, and the mosquitoes are winning!
Stop the losing battle. Try Thermacell instead. Just turn it on, mosquitoes gone.
That's it? No smoke, no smell?
That's it! Thermacell creates a zone of protection with the touch of a button. Thermacell is your new way to keep mosquitoes away. Shop Thermacell today.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Well, I understand if you're just tuning in like normal, that's cool. Welcome to the Annie Fry Show. We are doing things a little different today, though. So let me try to bring you into what has been a crazy day for all of us here on the Annie Fry Show and just, you know, be a part of what we're doing today because it's very, very exciting. So this weekend, we had the Save Our Mascots rally in Collinsville. That went really, really well. Thank you for being a part of that. And then today, we have a show host named Annie Fry here who is joining us, but not in studio. She is actually in Washington, D.C., and she is live with us now. Annie, how's it going?
Hello from Washington, D.C., in my hotel room right now. And it has been a wild day to be able to be in the briefing room this morning while Carolyn Leavitt was side by side with Tom Holman. Talking about, I think it's going to be really interesting this week because I think I've been told that they're going to do these early morning press briefings throughout the course of the whole week, of course, because of the 100 days that they're acknowledging. But they're going to kind of be focused on different portions of focus that the administration has on. And I, for one, am going to be interested to see how the administration prioritizes what goes first on Monday. Of course, maybe because Tom Holman might have been available on Monday, and I've been told that Scott Bessent will be there tomorrow at the press briefing, and it's going to be focused on the economy. Scheduling might have something to do with it, but I think it'd be hard-pressed to find out the two more important priorities for this administration and for the Americans that put these people in power: securing our country, getting the economy straight.
So, Annie, before we move forward and look at tomorrow, because I understand there's a whole lot more going to be happening this afternoon and then tomorrow, which we'll just kind of stay connected with you the whole time as much as we can. But walk us through today. I mean, what was the first thing you did this morning through now?
So Ethan sent me a nice text and gave me some words of encouragement and a little offering of prayer for me, which I appreciated. But as you mentioned, the rally home in the state of Illinois that took place at Collinsville Chaos Stadium. We had close to 150 people show up. Didn't know it was going to be during a Blues game. Whoops. We pulled into the parking lot and I was like, my husband goes, "Oh, the Blues just scored." I'm like, "The Blues are playing right now? Oh no." So, yeah. But we still had 150 people show up to that event, and it was really awesome to see. If you haven't seen what some of those people had to say, you need to check out the Annie Fry Show YouTube page, because Brad and Ryan were there live streaming everything. We got to hear from students from Collinsville High School, also from Granite City. They did such a great job. That was at 2 o'clock. Went home after that. We wrapped it up by 3, which I'm excited about because we said we were going to keep it in an hour and we were out of there in an hour. And then I got on a plane last night, landed in Washington, D.C. at about 11:30 p.m., got to the hotel, checked in a little bit after midnight, and I was up at about 5:45 Eastern time to make it into the press briefing room to do what? I don't know. All these people are milling about in the they're all doing their job, you know? Like, just imagine if somebody – just imagine if Steve, your boss, was like – said to somebody – "Yeah, you can come in and you can do radio for a day." And then somebody showed up and they were just like there. And nobody looks at me like I don't belong there. everybody's just working and milling about. And so I'm trying to not be like, excuse me. I'm trying to not say ope a lot when I'm in the press briefing room and look super Midwestern, like, oh, sorry. Oops, excuse me. I definitely feel out of my element, but I just thought to myself, like, while I was there, like, this would be something, as I've talked about this with the Blue Angels as well, when I got that opportunity to fly last year. Everything in me says, Annie, you are not cut out for this. This is not, it's so easy to just say no and not do the hard thing. But the hard thing is so cool. Even if I don't know what I'm doing, even if I look like a total fish out of water, I'm spending the whole day today watching and doing a lot of learning. Originally, our intention was for me to be in the press briefing room on Tuesday. I have press clearance all day tomorrow. I'm here all day tomorrow, fly back Wednesday morning, and Ethan Hannaford is going to pick me up from the airport and bring me back to host the Annie Fry Show on Wednesday. But the schedule is crazy. It's like, I will tell you, this is a scoop, you guys. I got a scoop here. Let me read
what
this
a scoop.
From... What a screw. Crap. I didn't say it right, did I? I got a message from one of the White House handlers, and they said, we would like you to join for the 5 p.m. executive order signings if they open it up to the press.
Yes. That's so cool.
So I might be a possibility where I am. If basically, you know how it is from our end, all of a sudden the president signing executive orders, they hustle the White House press pool into the room. If it initially is scheduled as closed press, if they decide to bring the press in, I am supposed to be able to go into the, that's just like the craziest thing ever.
When do you, start, and then I when also do you find that out? 4:55, 5 minutes beforehand or what?
I don't know. I said, like, should I just go back? Like I could have been sitting in the press briefing room all day. They would have let me do that.
The guy after the game.
No, I'd rather. Yeah, hi. I'm still raising my hand.
Okay, we're cleaning up the stadium, sir.
I just want to be first in line.
Cardio in this morning. Exactly. They told me, they said that I should come back about 3 o'clock Eastern. So 2 o'clock your time. So I'm going to do the first hour here with you guys. Definitely the first two segments. We'll see about Wiggins America. And one other text I got was from one Will Scharf. And he said, I told all the press wranglers that you were my friend and that they should be extra nice to you. So I don't know if that has to do with me possibly getting into see the executive orders or not. But, you know, I said to you guys, there's no way that I can leave this opportunity if I don't get to ask a question, if I don't get to interview anybody that's super highfalutin, just to be able to be here and see how this stuff operates. And it's been a really amazing, overwhelming experience. And I'm doing this on about 4 hours of sleep, maybe.
Yeah.
If I got to sleep.
I feel you. I'm doing it
night,
on like so. 9 hours. So it's kind of tough for me too.
Oh, nine full hours.
Yeah. Annie, I want to pop back and forth between you, both the news that's happening and your experience of the news. Cause they're kind of two different things, right? Let's talk about what Tom Homan was saying in the press briefing this morning, which you can report on because you were there. We don't have to watch it. You can tell us what it was like in the room, both kind of your experience and then what was he saying?
So I think that they wanted to focus questions today on border security. And basically you have Tom Homan standing there. Let's ask questions of the guy who's in charge of all of that. The border czar, if you will. And I was surprised that there weren't more pressing questions on this Louisiana family. I think I was going in thinking this was going to be kind of a bigger story in this press briefing than it materialized to be. But there was a mother in Louisiana that was deported. She was an illegal immigrant who had a child in the United States, which makes that child a citizen. And there are a lot of stories right now. J.B. Pritzker certainly highlighted it in a fundraiser that he was at over the weekend, saying that there were children, citizen children, who were being deported. Well, the truth about that story, and this was discussed, there was a question asked about this, and I guess everybody was satisfied with the answer because they didn't press on it too much. But this Louisiana family, this mother said, can I please take my child with me? Because I think that they were going back to Honduras. And as Tom Homan said, we're not in the business of separating families. And if we would have said, no, that's a United States citizen, that two-year-old's a United States citizen, they stay here. He said, then all of you in the press here would be talking about how we're separating families. We want the children to be with their parents. And the mother, who was being deported because she came here illegally, made the request to have the child stay with her. Now, that's the report that they gave today. And I thought that was going to be something that might have blown up a little bit more. But he delivered a very clear and concise message. Tom Homan, at the end of the words and the questioning, he went up to the microphone. He goes, hold on a second. I got one more thing. And then he pulled out a piece of paper and he goes, and I'm going to read this so that nobody can mess up my words. And he delivered a very specific message to the people who are here illegally. Get on the CB1 home app or something like that. He goes, get in contact with ICE. You are going to be in such a better position if you initiate this contact and work on the self-deportation, work on meeting with the people who you're supposed to, the authorities you're supposed to. Because if you don't, we're going to find you, we're going to deport you, and you're going to be barred from ever coming back to the United States again. He also said that there would be a fine. If you've gotten your final notice and you're still here, a fine of $998 a day if you don't go through that process yourself. It was very, I mean, like, if you thought 100 days in there was going to be some stories that came out of the news cycle that made him look politically kind of bad, and maybe they'd 100 days in, maybe you'll soften your blow. Nope. Not even a pinch of that. Complete and total resolve, complete and total focus on the job at hand. And one of the other reporters asked a question and they said, you're talking about how, I think they said that they were doing 15,000 border people, meeting 15,000 people at the border every day. And he goes, you know how many we had yesterday or like within the last week? He goes, 137.
Wow.
And this reporter goes, okay, so if you're saying it's down to 137, why are you still saying it's an emergency? How can you still justify calling what's taking place at the border an emergency? He said, because we still have to stop the fentanyl that's still trying to get into this country. We still have to make sure that if there is anything going on, any sort of nefarious behavior going on at the border, we're going to address that and we're going to combat against that. So there's no like good enough is well done. It's clear, it's focused. And Tom Homan says my favorite line of his, if people don't like me, I don't care. And then he just goes about his business.
So one of the things making news today, you may have seen it in person, is the posters that they put up of the criminal illegal aliens along press row. Obviously, the point was that the press would see it and hopefully report on it. MSNBC, amazingly, is blurring those pictures out when they play that right now. But I wanted
I have a video of them on my phone right now.
You have the video.
I'm going to put it in a Google Drive for you guys. Yes, I do.
Well, that answers that question. Did you see it? But is there like a press reaction that's happening to that row of pictures, mugshots?
One of the things that I'm really interested in being behind the scenes is like, can I tell in the press room, while we're outside of the press room and people are milling about, can I tell who's who just by the way they act? You know, I'm waiting to, Caitlin Collins wasn't in the room today, but if Caitlin Collins were in the room today, what if she's the nicest person I've ever met? You know, like what if the people who we think are the ones who we watch on TV all the time, what if they're not the nicest people we've ever met? So I'm kind of waiting to see from a personality standpoint, how people operate, how they interact with one another. Maybe in the next segment, I'll tell you a little scoop about behind the scenes because I had some conversations with some people standing around me who were talking about I'm in DC and I just keep saying scoop. just kind of the way that the room functions, because it's not really what you would think it is. And I was interested in the kind of drama behind that.
Does Carolyn Leavitt or anybody from the administration, do they interact with the press outside of that briefing, or is that pretty, that's it?
Well, I think, again, going back to what I said at the beginning, this is a really non-traditional week for the administration and for the normal order of operations, because generally speaking, I see a lot of 11 a.m. our time, central time briefings. A lot of times they happen right before we come on the air, and then we're trying to pick stuff up from there if anything happened. But then also a lot of 2 p.m. or 3 p.m. briefings. To have this at 8:30 in the morning, instead of kind of easing your day into that press briefing, that's how everybody started their morning. And I heard a lot of people in the room being like, 8:30, I love this. Get in here and get it done and get out of, you know, they're looking to move on with their day. So I think that traditionally Carolyn probably is more accessible during the day, but I wonder if this week might be a little bit different.
Well, we are at the time where we're supposed to break. So let's say we're going to stop now. We're going to come back with Annie and let's talk about this afternoon. Let's talk about tomorrow, what you're expecting to see. And I guess you're going to have a scoop for us. So there's a tease. Stick around for that. We will be right back with Annie Fry Goes to Washington here on The Annie Fry Show.
The citronella candle is useless. And don't even get me started on the sticky sprays.
Did you try the dryer sheet hack too?
I've tried everything, and the mosquitoes are winning.
Stop the losing battle. Try Thermacell instead. Just turn it on. Mosquitoes gone.
That's it? No smoke? No smell?
That's it. Thermacell creates a zone of protection with the touch of a button. Thermacell is your new way to keep mosquitoes away. Shop Thermacell today.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
This is a great day to get in the chat on YouTube. A lot of people joining because this is where we're going to play a lot of video. Annie's taking video, and we'll be sharing stuff not just right now, but throughout the day, maybe even past our normal time. I mean, this is going to be kind of fly-by-the-seat-of-your-pants stuff. A lot of people, Annie, who is here, by the way, from D.C., Annie, people are asking, you know, if you've seen President Trump at all, if you've seen Vice President Vance. I would assume that if that happens, that would be this afternoon at the executive order.
I have not seen either one of them today. I do know that they're both here, according at least to the president's schedule that was sent out yesterday, said that they were supposed to have lunch together. So maybe that's what they're doing right now, or maybe they've wrapped that up. I will go back to the White House. I'm going to be back there at about 3 o'clock. I'm going to try to get there hopefully around 2:30 my time. So that'd be what, 1:30 your time. And the possibility exists that there might be another opportunity to move with the press and to cover whatever is going on at the White House, including the potential for signing of executive orders. So I haven't seen either of them. Of course, I saw Tom Homan and Carolyn Leavitt at the press briefing. A lot of the members of the press that you probably recognize as well, Peter Ducey was there. He was milling about. I think that's kind of one of the interesting things about the press and the way that they work. Like, we'll see, if you're watching Fox News, you'll see Peter Ducey do, you know, a stand-up in front with the White House in the background, beautiful green lawn, the White House is back there. What happens is they are all on this long, they call it a driveway, and or Pebble Beach, I think is how it's also referred to. So when I walked in, I had to go in through security, give them my ID. It's almost like trying to go through TSA at an airport. When I got in, I got handed a press pass. And then when I got out of that, which I happened to go through security this morning with Brian Kilmeade's producer, who I got to see, I stood there with Allison for a while. And then before you got to walk down this long driveway to get to where the press briefing room exists. But you can essentially go from getting on the White House property on the campus or whatever it's called to the press briefing room without really having to weave yourself through any other places. So the press can kind of come and go, which is really nice that they have it set up that they can mill about. They can, if something big were to happen, they all would be able to be covering it at the same time. And outside, there's just this whole string of green tents. You might've seen this in pictures before, but if you watch Fox and Friends this morning, Brian Kilmeade had the White House in the background, and he was broadcasting inside that green tent that you would maybe see Peter Ducey reporting from throughout the course of the morning and early morning and late morning for the most part. So then they can go from, I mean, it's maybe 100 meters to go from the area where they do their stand-up video shot into the press briefing room. And then there might be some more places to explore back there yet that I haven't had the guts yet to just wander around until I get told, hey, you can't be here. So that might happen tomorrow, though.
Well, apparently all of the Secret Service knows that you're a friend of Will Scharf's. So
no, the White House press.
Oh, the White House press handler.
I don't know if Will Scharf told the whole Secret Service, although I might be good for something. I might have to push for that a little bit.
So you haven't seen the current president. Have you seen the previous president at all?
No.
He didn't actually make it onto the helicopter. He's just, some say he's still wandering the grounds.
Wandering the, like a ghost. No, I have not seen him.
People are, you know, asking a lot of questions. Today's YouTube live chat poll is, do you have a question that you would like Annie to ask at the White House press briefing? So that's my question for you is tomorrow. We saw the DC Drano guy was in the new media chair this morning. And in fact, Ethan's kind of on standby because we have national video of you from this morning that we're going to just plug in at some point. Of you being in the press room. We're going to do it at some point. But do you know where you're going to be sitting tomorrow? Do you know if you're going to ask a question?
So the way it works is every seat that exists in the press room has a little plate. I saw there's little plates that are on the foot of the seat that mark where they go. And if you Googled it, I haven't had a chance yet to look it up. I heard some people talking about it in the press room today, but they're looking at shuffling completely how those seats are allocated. So right now I think they're based more on like a monetary way of representation. And so you'll see the people in the front two rows will be your big, you know, network covering or your biggest papers or whatever it might be. And then wherever you saw me standing on the wall or around the whole place, it's first come, first serve. So like I can get there super early in the morning tomorrow and I'd have to get there super early because I walked in there probably at about 7:15 a.m. Eastern time. And there were two guys who were standing in front of me. And one of them was from the Epoch Times. And I can't remember which the other guy was from, but they were there, they were camped out, and then there's a woman who was standing in front of me at the press briefing, and she came in at the very last minute. I had, is it Mary Margaret, I think, from the Daily Wire, she asked a question. She was just over my right shoulder. But this woman came in at the very last minute and just walked and stood right in front of me, and it was, I didn't know what I don't know, but it did not please people in the room. And I'm like, do I need to say, like, in most cases in my life, I'd handle that situation. But I'm like, I just got here. I am not handling
Wait,
this situation.
So you're saying,
I offered to get out.
So somebody walked in late and stood right in front of you, and the rest of the room was like, no, no, that's not cool.
You are going to take this to the far exact what I just said there. So, no, I'm going to say that I was there. When I got there, it's John Decker. He is somebody who is often offered quite often to us through Fox News, I believe, radio two ways. Like we talked to Ryan Schmelz, but we've developed a good relationship with him. And I understand he's going to be on the show at 1:25 today. People who are experts at various things, their job is to cover a certain kind of beat. So maybe it's economic, maybe it's foreign policy, like the Ukraine, Russia war or what's going on in the Middle East or whatever. So he was in there. And I watched him. I bet you he did. I got there at 7:15. The press briefing took place at 8:30 Eastern. I bet you he did 5 or 6 radio shows just sitting in his chair in the press briefing, had his papers, was super friendly to everybody, and would pick up the phone and say, hey, how's it going? And then he'd do a radio hit and then he'd do another and another. Like these people are really hustling to make sure that they can get the word out. They've got the coverage down. So they're talking to people all over the country. But it's just interesting to see, like the outside, they said it's like kind of like the wild, wild west. And I think that Carolyn Leavitt is looking to potentially shake up the way the press room is laid out and cycle maybe people through which chairs they sit in, or, you know, maybe it stays the way it is. And some people get some specific spaces on the wall. I don't know. But it was clear that the non-spoken for spaces, which were first come, first served, that you better have some thick skin if you want to show up and make your position known. So
today it seems like there's a focus, at least today, on immigration. Do you know if they're focusing on different subjects each day this week? Tomorrow's the 100th day. I mean, pretty cool that you're there for that. But
yep. Tomorrow is economy. And at the press briefing, just like today, Tom Homan was there. Scott Bessent, the Treasury Secretary, I believe, is going to be in that room doing the press briefing once again at 8:30 in the morning. So I'll be able to be in there. I have clearance to do the same thing tomorrow that I'm doing today. And I'm looking to hopefully get maybe over to the Capitol. Also, I've made some connections with some of our Missouri and Illinois representatives that exist in Congress. So if I can do the press briefing tomorrow morning, I might try to work myself over to Capitol Hill and see what I can do over there. But tomorrow's focus will be the economy.
Okay. And this could apply to the press briefing room too, but let's say this afternoon you are in either the room or wherever they do the executive order. He's so freewheeling that he may just start taking questions. Are you prepared for the opportunity to yell, "Mr. President, Mr. President," and then him go, "Yes, you."
You. You and the blonde. The answer is yes, I will be prepared to say something. But I don't know what the executive orders are. So I have, for this morning, I had some questions written down that I really wanted to ask. And then I found out that it was going to be about border security. So I had to scrap what I had to ask and come up with some border security questions, should I get called on. And they said that there was a chance that I could get called on. They were pretty encouraging that it would happen. And I have, you know, like I've told Brad this, I might've told you this, Ryan, I told my husband this. I'm like, listen, if I don't get, my life is made of, oh, you're going to do this and you're going to do that and you're going to do this. And then you get there and like, none of that stuff happens. And what I've decided is that if it happens that I don't get asked a question, I am not going to be disappointed to have had this opportunity, like 100% A+, so happy to be here and experience this. If I am in front of the president and he calls on me, I better have something that I want to say and something that is useful to the conversation that is bigger than me. So yes, I will have something to say. Do I expect to get called on? I don't, but we'll see how it goes.
Well, having been around it now, being like in the scrum or whatever you want to call it, is there like a flow to this thing? Do people have their question pre-written on a card and they're going to ask that question regardless, or is it, no, the guy next to me just asked that. Now I got to scramble because I got to come up with something else, but I got to get my time.
I think that it probably depends on the reporter. I mean, these people, you know how it is for us. There's a different flow to our show when I'm hosting. There's a different flow when you're hosting, Ryan, with Brad. There's a different flow if we have a guest host into the show and you're playing your normal Ryan Wiggins role with somebody else in there. But I would say, at least for me, the easiest way to do it is when I'm there hosting the show. And I don't write down my questions for my guests when I'm having people on. I have ideas in my head, and you learn how it's just a conversation. You're just talking to people when I'm hosting the show. And I have thought to myself a dozen times that I've been out here, like how comfortable I am in my role as a radio talk show host, talking to thousands of people every day from the place that you're standing right now, Ryan, and how not comfortable I am here doing this. And it's just, you know, I think anybody, you gain the confidence and the experience to do something like this. So a lot of these reporters are sitting there and they're waiting for their question. They know what they're going to ask, but they're not in a position where they're having to write things out because they're professionals. They've been doing it for a long time. I had to do that. I had to write out questions when I started doing radio, and I don't have to do that now, but you better believe I had questions written out word for word and proofread and improved words that I had in the sentences and everything in the event that I did get called, so I wouldn't make a fool out of myself.
Well, Ethan's in the room now. He's going to pull up a little video of you from this morning. We may not play the audio because we want to talk to you here, not just listen to questions that weren't from you. But we do have the video, so we'll play that if you want to log on to YouTube and see Annie on national news this morning.
Do you want the
no,
audio?
No, we won't play the audio because okay. We're talking to Annie. Maybe we'll get to that later. But being in the room, I mean, this is political nerd question stuff. This isn't even news related. But being in the room, is it like, is it weird? I mean, we've watched these things over generations at this point, the same room. You know, there's so much history being where you're at. Is it weird to be there? And is it different than what you'd expect?
It's surreal. I don't know if I would say weird, but it's surreal. Hey, there I am.
There you are, right there.
Just trying not to embarrass the families that I belong to. Like, I was seriously standing there up against the wall thinking, gosh, don't lock your knees. I'll be the person who, like, passes out or... itch my nose. Oh my gosh. I don't know if this might be the only time I ever watch this. I don't know if
Carol Levitt was like, what's that girl doing itching her nose back there?
What's she looking at right now?
She did look at me in the briefing and she smiled at me. I smiled at her and she smiled at me. Like, here's what I'm doing. Because listen, I'm not a journalist in there that's like trying to, not going to say that I'm not fair and balanced, but I love what this president is doing. Donald Trump in his first 100 days is doing way more than I ever thought that he'd be able to do. And he's being so successful. So here, me as an expressive person, you've seen me interview people, especially if people come in and they're nervous or they need guidance. Like my face will be expressive. My face is too expressive. So like I'm sitting here in the press room and she's saying things and Tom Holman is saying things. And I had to spend so much time keeping my face from doing all the talking. And I was like, I wanted to be like, that's right. Like she's listening. And I wanted to be like, yes, girl, that's absolutely it. And I'm like, I cannot do that right now. So I was trying really hard to stay within myself and like not nod my head in affirmation the way, you know, sometimes if you're seeing someone speak that they're giving a note or a message, you'd be like, that's right. You tell it like it is, girl, or Mr. Holman. You know, I don't know.
Oh, no.
But I mean.
Look, you did that today. Okay, you got through your day. That's fine. Tomorrow, do Pentecostal church. I mean, just go for it. Like, yeah, girl. No, listen, amen.
The Lutheran in me, through and through. I'm Hallelujah. Like, can I stand in the back of the room? Yeah, it's a. I'm pushing myself against everything that I have tried to be comfortable with, which is not needing to be in the front, not needing to be first. The first will be last. The last will be first. Here I am. And I'm like, this is not the way this room operates. So, I mean, obviously, I know that, but it's different when it comes to putting it in practice.
Annie,
what a cool opportunity.
Annie, was there, you know, seeing that even from this side is surreal. Was there a moment or has there been a moment yet as you're sitting there in that press room saying, oh my gosh, there's Tom Holman, there's Carolyn Leavitt, and potentially the chance for it to be President Trump. Has there been a moment yet, and perhaps this happens after the trip when you have more time to reflect, everything's moving so quickly right now, but have you had a moment to kind of just gather and be like, okay, like, I'm here right now. What a cool opportunity.
You know, Ethan, you'll appreciate this. We got done with the press briefing, and everybody was walking out of the room, and I'm doing my Annie thing, which is I'm just like, moving things around like I have important things to do. I don't have anybody here to talk to. I like wrote words down in my notebook that were just words. I don't even know what I wrote down, but I'm studying people around me to see like, okay, where do people go? Do people look like they're going to go completely somewhere else for the time being, whatever. And I finally, I would say 70% of the people left the press briefing room, went back outside to the area, what I was talking about before. And I walked out and I had to pause because I'm pretty sure the Philadelphia Eagles were walking right by me, like the whole team. As they showed, I'm like, okay, all right. Now I came out. Maybe I should have gone sooner. I don't know. There they are. Good job, guys. You did great.
Usually when I see somebody who walks by who looks like a football player and there's a whole bunch of them, you usually can tell those people look like different people than we do.
Yeah, and they had, you know, there were some people walking that looked like they were professional athletes, and then there were other people carrying their bags and, you know, that type of stuff. So, and there was a lot of security and press, but they were being honored at the White House for their Super Bowl championship. And, yeah, like, it's just, you know, I would assume that's just another day at the White House. If you're in the White House press pool, you go in and talk to Tom Holman about making the country safe again, and then you go out the door and you're just like, oh hey, it's the Eagles, fly eagle fly, or whatever they say. I don't know.
E-G-L-A.
I missed an opportunity, didn't I? Dang it. You're right. I need a G, Ethan.
Well, we got one more segment this hour with Annie, so we're going to come right back and talk a little bit more about Annie's interview with the entire Philadelphia Eagles team. Anything else you want to add before
we
jump?
One more thing. Yeah, before we go to a break, I want to say the biggest thank you and gratitude to Stewart's American Mortgage. My friend Stewie when I called him and I said, I have this opportunity and I need a sponsor to help me go there, he goes, you got it. And that's the type of partner Stewie is. I'm a two-time bagel loan user myself. So I know that he has a sponsorship relationship with this show, but I'm a customer of his. If you're looking to get a new mortgage, buy a new house or anything like that, Google the bagel loan and contact Stewie and tell him you heard about it. Especially tell him if you're looking to contact him, you've ever been thinking about it, 314-324-4440. Reach out to Stewie and tell him you heard about it on the Annie Fry Washington, D.C. coverage. And then also to Grasser Electric. Great to have them on board to help make this possible. GrasserElectric.com. If you have emergency service needed with electrical work, they're local, they're trusted. They've been family owned since 1975. You can go to GrasserElectric.com on the homepage. I'm looking at it right now and get a free estimate. So thank you so much to Stewie and Stewart's American Mortgage and the Bagel Loan, as well as Grasser Electric for making this possible. I am so incredibly grateful.
A lot of people in the socials right now saying that you should yell Go Chiefs this afternoon. We will find out whether you are going to do that.
I got to get
not.
A Brego Garcia's hat.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. That's a deep cut. Yeah. We're going to find out more about that. I don't know. That's the tease, I guess. We're coming back with Annie Fry on the other side of this break. Stick around.
The citronella candle is useless. And don't even get me started on the sticky sprays.
Did you try the dryer sheet hack, too?
I've tried everything, and the mosquitoes are winning.
Stop the losing battle. Try Thermacell instead. Just turn it on. Mosquitoes gone.
That's it? No smoke? No smell?
That's it. Thermacell creates a zone of protection with the touch of a button. Thermacell is your new way to keep mosquitoes away. Shop Thermacell today.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America decade by decade from the 18th century to the 20th. Original music and immersive sound design accompany us on our storytelling journey. Listen to and follow History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, Annie is in Washington, D.C. She is part of the press pool, the national press pool, for the first 100 days of Trump's term. She is reporting, but she also promises to make news somehow this afternoon. I don't know exactly what that's going to be, but she is going to make herself the center of attention somehow. We're all looking forward to that.
Annie,
what are you going to do in that
press room? You keep treating this like if it were you.
Yes.
That's different.
Just do something crazy. We just want some good video. We want a viral video. That's
yeah,
all we want.
That's I like the idea of that.
Brad, go ahead. You had said well, you had some questions.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I was going to let Annie say what she was going to say, but really, was there anything like when once you got there, like, was it what you expected or was it different, and how so?
Let's see. Well, I've been to the White House before, like as a tourist, you know, one time in last May with my son's eighth grade class. That was the first time I've ever been to Washington, D.C. And we did the thing where you like go stand in front of the White House on Pennsylvania Avenue and you take pictures through the fence. And it's cool. That was really awesome to see for the first time. Then my husband and I came back in July and he had never been to D.C. So we kind of did a non-tour guide version of what I remembered from the eighth grade class tour. But we went and did the same thing and stood there. So I kind of knew the layout a little bit of where I would be going. Now, of like all of the White House, I might have seen 4% of what the White House is right now. And that might be higher than what's really there. But it's so beautiful. The landscaping, the way we manicure our nation's capital, like the building that resembles the epicenter of the power of the United States government, which is ultimately a reflection of the United States people, the citizens, the voters. It's just really beautiful. And I kind of was surprised that people were friendlier than I thought that they have to be. I'll just put it that way. Like, I don't think that I'm going to go into the White House and I'm going to be treated like a concierge at a hotel would treat you when you walk in. People are working. People are working in a really super fast-paced environment. And you know how it is with us, even like you spend a lot of your time moving from point A to point B. You're looking at your phone, you're hurrying to get to the next place to get the next thing done. So I don't really go to the White House thinking that people are going to be pleasant, but people were pleasant. And you know, I didn't have any negative experiences at all. So I kind of think that just the general, maybe I'm just a little bit in awe of the actual opportunity to be on the White House grounds, but it was just a pleasant experience. I haven't ruined it yet. So it's been pretty cool. It's been pretty cool to be there. And just like, so far it's just been being there that has been like, wow.
Does the press move around, or is it like, oh no, you're part of the press that does the White House, or you're part of the press that does the Capitol building or whatever?
They have different press pools. So I believe that you're having Ryan Schmelz on at 1:25, and he is the Fox News Radio Capitol Hill correspondent. He's also listed as a White House correspondent. So I assume that Fox News has the ability to, maybe there are some vacations or a need to put somebody in the seat, maybe for Ducey or whoever it might be, that he could move over and pinch hit over there. But they have different press pools. They have the White House press pool. They have the traveling press pool. So the people who get on the plane and go with him Tuesday, the president is flying to Michigan for a rally. That traveling press pool is different than the White House press pool. So my understanding is at the White House, whatever's happening on the White House, they're kind of shifting around and going whatever there is a thing happening at the White House. Those people are stationary there, which I think would be a pretty cool job, because at least you're in a place, you know, at least you've got kind of like a home base. The traveling pool would be awesome too. It's just kind of a different lifestyle.
Is there anything else you're hoping to, we got about 2 minutes here. Is there anything you're hoping to achieve either this afternoon, evening, or tomorrow? I know you're kind of like just taking it in, but like you got to have a little bit of a goal to accomplish something, right?
Yeah. You know, today I'm hoping that they open up the executive order signings to the press so that I have the opportunity to do that. If it takes place in the Oval Office, the way a lot of these things do, I don't even feel like saying that out loud. I don't want to jinx it, but like the fact that I could potentially be moving to the Oval Office, like even that exists in the possibility of my future today blows my mind. So, yeah. I don't know. I'm just playing it by ear.
Well, you kind of answered my question, Annie, but what I was going to ask you is, you know, I was looking at their schedule today. The Nationals are in town, 3:05 start. I'm assuming that's probably not in the plans today. I just wanted to confirm, though.
I had thought about that. I wondered when my husband and I came last July, we actually caught the Cardinals series here. Good game for the Cardinals, the one that we watched, the first one at least. And so I've been to the stadium. I would probably try to make that a priority if we wouldn't have just been to the stadium. But at the same time, that's something my husband and I do together. So we always try to hit those stadiums together.
I just didn't know how it compared to like the Oval Office. So I was just curious. That's all.
I don't like the stadium, honestly. It's kind of boring. I asked an usher when we got in, because my husband always tries to try like whatever the local special food is.
Yeah.
My husband goes, "Do you have any special food we should go get?" And the guy's like, "No, not really."
What is
so
special?
Right. Like, okay.
Is there anything special to
we'll
DC?
Get a hot dog.
It's just a bunch of implants, isn't it? Imports, implants. We couldn't get through the whole hour without something like that.
Gosh, Ryan.
It's a good run.
Yeah.
We ended up having some something that was kind of a Latina thing, but it wasn't like, oh, when you go to DC, when you go to Cleveland or Cincinnati, I should say, you got to get chili or whatever it was. No. And just ask the ushers. They're like, "No, there's nothing special here." So
Oh my gosh.
Jared got a beer and a hot dog, and that was
well, at least try the gooey butter cake and the T-Ravs and just see how they are. Compare.
If I find some, I'll let you know.
Of all the video you're going to be doing, that's the one that people will be like, "Oh, you got to see the T-Rav video from Washington, D.C."
Hey, Annie, real quick before we go, just don't leave there with any regrets. Like, "Oh, I should have asked blank." You know, you're at a moment where you don't really know when you might get to do this again. So don't leave there with any regrets.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I have you to thank for that, Brad.
Annie's in D.C. We are wrapping up this first hour. We're going to stay in touch with her, so you stay here.
Get more at 971talk.com.
The citronella candle is useless. And don't even get me started on the sticky sprays.
Did you try the dryer sheet hack, too?
I've tried everything, and the mosquitoes are winning.
Stop the losing battle. Try Thermacell instead. Just turn it on. Mosquitoes gone.
That's it? No smoke? No smell?
That's it. Thermacell creates a zone of protection with the touch of a button. Thermacell is your new way to keep mosquitoes away. Shop Thermacell today.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.